This is a Geek Bro Podcast. What's up, besties? This is episode 72 of Childlike at Best with Mike Valdez, and I am still the second part of that title. I hope you're having a great week so far. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's episode is such a great one, and I'm so excited for you to hear it, so let's get right to it. Today's episode is Alessandra Torresani. Alessandra is a very talented actress who you may know from so many things. She's been working since she was 9 years old. You might know her from Malcolm in the Middle, or the Disney Channel original movie Going to the Mat, or things as recent as Lucifer, The Big Bang Theory, and so much more. She's also the host of a very great and funny podcast called the Emotion Al Support Podcast, which is available wherever you listen to podcasts. This was such a great episode. We had such a lovely conversation. Alessandra is honestly such a delight to talk to. We talked about Disney rides, a bunch of different childhood stories, and we even talked about the acting business as well. I really think that you guys are going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Alessandra Torresani.
Where are you? That's such a cool door.
This is my bed frame.
I'm so jealous. You do it in your bed. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. I live in a library. So
what do you mean? Like literally?
I'm joking.
I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, this is just my bed frame, but it has this cool look to it. So I just use it as a background.
Where are you based out of again?
I'm based out of Miami right now.
Oh, so jealous. I love Miami. Did you ever Did you ever do the Back to the Future ride?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, not a lot of people have. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy because they switched out Back to the Future for something else that I love.
Simpsons.
Which is The Simpsons. But also, I still like Back to the Future more.
Me too. That was a classic ride.
I'm all for making the Springfield area, but just keeping Back to the Future.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Because everything else about Springfield, I adore.
Yeah. And it's such a cute idea to have like the games there and all that stuff. Yeah. But it's like the ride I feel like should have been, I don't know, maybe a roller coaster or something else. But I think that Back to the Future, that ride was so perfect the way it was. But, you know, it just shows like the younger generation doesn't know what Back to the Future is. And not just that, like I'm sure Simpsons will go away and become something else like in 5 years. Right.
Exactly. It'll become freaking Paw Patrol or something, you know?
Yeah. No, because they just put in Secret Life of Pets. And I'm like, what is that? No, it's a kid movie. I'm like, oh, okay.
Kevin Hart, man. Kevin Hart's a dog.
Oh, really? I guess I need a kid to like get with the kid movies, I guess.
But I gotta be honest, I'm not even sure if Kevin Hart is a dog or if Kevin Hart's in it. But I'm just
gonna pretend that he is. I'm all about that.
What movie poster doesn't have Kevin Hart in it? There's only a few to name, you know?
I mean, I feel like, and with cartoons, who knows who's in it? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a gamble.
Have you been to Miami before?
I have so many times. Yeah. I've probably been to Miami like 30 times in my life.
Work, I guess, grass is always greener.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
Why? What do you hate about it?
You know what it is? I think I've realized this the older I've gotten, is that I'm a California soul living in a Miami city.
Interesting. You know? I feel like I'm a Miami soul living in California.
Right. Because when I moved to California for a little while, I was like, oh, I get this.
Right.
Like, these are my people. But I don't know. There's good things and there's bad things about everything at the end of the day.
Totally.
You know, so. But yeah, have you lived in California your whole life?
Yeah, I'm from here. I'm from outside of San Francisco, a place called Los Altos near Stanford University. And then I moved to L.A. when I was like, between 9 to 11, we would go back and forth. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know any different. Like, I went to school here. I have all my friends here. You know, I've lived other places in between, but really, like, my home base, everyone's here.
Where did you live in between, just out of curiosity?
I was in Vancouver for a couple of years. I'd go back and forth from New York all the time, but never at a full place in New York like I did in Canada, but kind of like all over, you know, especially for work. Like I'd just go back and forth, which is awesome and lots of fun. But once you get to explore and see other places, you're kind of like, wait, I want to go live over here for a longer period of time, you know?
Right.
And I think that that's kind of right with COVID. Like, I think we've all been able to kind of change our atmosphere, and I haven't. That's why I'm like, oh, Miami sounds good.
Well, yeah, because COVID doesn't exist here. So it's great.
It doesn't exist there. Is it such a trip being there?
Yeah. Everybody's like, I can't catch it. I'm Cuban. Why would I be able to catch it?
Oh, my God. How crazy.
Wow. Nobody thinks like that.
Do you go to Disney World a lot?
I go as much as I can. I know you're a huge fan of it, and we're definitely going to talk about it.
I know. Tell me all about Disney. That's what I'm here for.
Well, I mean, we've already started, which is great.
I'm aware, and I love it. I love how you get right into it. That's how I do it.
Exactly. I love it, man. I haven't been in a while. I think the last time I went...
Pre-COVID.
Yeah. It was probably 2018.
Yeah. What's your favorite ride?
Oh, yikes. That's tough.
Right?
When I was a kid, I was a thrill seeker.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't know if you're like this, but the older I get, the more I'm just like, no, the scenery's a lot nicer. I'd rather
I want thrills. I have not gotten that out of my system. I'm thrilled all the time. I used to lie about my height and wear like stacked sneakers, like so dangerous. Do not recommend that. I am thrill seeker. So what is your favorite ride when you were a kid and the favorite now?
Okay. So as a kid, it was Star Tours.
Great. I puke almost every time on that.
So fun story, not really fun, but fun in retrospect, is that my mom was a single mom for a long time. And we went to Disney quite a bit when I was growing up.
What a good mom.
She was the best. It's something, sadly, I didn't realize it until I became older.
Right, right.
You know, how much she worked her ass off. She worked her ass off for me. Like, it's ridiculous. She's a freaking superhero. It's incredible. And so she would take me to Disney and took me with, like, my aunt, my great aunt, and my grandparents, and they would always get wheelchairs, so we would always get like fast passes.
Amazing. I mean, not amazing, right? But like for a kid, that must have been like the coolest.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's so awesome that grandpa's in a wheelchair. Now I can ride the ride. I don't have to wait in a 45-minute line for Star Tours. So we would go to Star Tours, and this is a thing I didn't know, is that my mom has severe motion sickness.
No.
Right? And I didn't know that. So my mom took me to Star Tours and I loved it. And I was too young to even know that something was wrong with her when she was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, let's go again. And she went again. I mean, we ended up doing like shifts with other people in my family. I ended up riding the ride like 8 times in a row.
Oh, but now, my God, you're crazy. I would have been throwing up.
Yeah. Now looking in retrospect, it's wild what I did to my mother.
Your poor mom.
It's wild.
Did she puke?
No, she's not a puker. She's one of those people that,
but it must have just like wiped her out for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it just wipes her out. Like, she'll faint before she pukes.
Oh my God.
Like, it's like severe.
No, I can't do Star Tours. And when I do it now, I mean, it's my favorite too. I love it, but I have to take the glasses off because I can't, like, I get such motion sickness with the 3D, I think, with the glasses. And what's your favorite right now?
It's tough, man. I mean, I've always loved Rock and Roller Coaster as well.
Ooh.
That was the first roller coaster with a loop in it that I ever went on.
Oh, that's right. It has a loop.
Yeah, it's the first thing you do.
Do you go backwards on that, or am I like thinking of something else?
No, you're thinking of the Mummy.
Yeah, I know. I know the Mummy, but I thought there was another one that you did upside down like that.
You do corkscrews in that one. You do a loop at the very beginning. It's a fun one. You go through a glow in the dark donut. It's great.
It's great. You know? It's great. I love it. Well, yeah, I think like that you need to go back to Disney World stacked now that it's open again.
You know what's funny is like I don't know if you'll agree with me as far as like when you were a kid, but when I was a kid, I didn't like Epcot because I was like, oh, that's the learning theme park. That's yeah. the boring theme park. Then I became an adult and I was like, I get it.
But why? I still don't get it, but I haven't been as an adult yet. Like I went, I think the last time I was at Walt Disney World, I was like 14 or something. So I don't think that right. I still would get it, but I don't drink. So that would be right. like, people are like, oh, you neither go to Epcot to drink. So what is it yeah. that thrills you about it? Because the only thing I remember was, which is now the Frozen ride, which I right. guess was the, what was it? Like the Norway Matterhorn. Ride.
Was it the Matterhorn, I think. Yeah.
No. It was like this weird ride that you went on inside and you were on a boat.
Right. You're right.
And you like drop one ride. Little you're thing. Right. And it was like really not that thrilling or great at all, but it was the only ride right. I think that was there. And I remember being like, oh, this isn't as fun as Europe. Like that's what I remembered as a kid. I was like, this isn't Europe. This is weird.
Right. Yeah.
But why do you like it?
I got it. I'm going to give you like the most basic white girl answer.
Give it to me.
I like it. I like it because I like the food.
Yeah.
You can have different food. You know,
I love a buffet. It's like a buffet.
Yeah. I love being able to go to Japan and get Japanese snacks.
Yeah. That's
you know,
cute.
That I can't get anywhere else. I don't know. It was just, it's just fun. I'm not a drinker either, you know, right. so nor do I want to be around plastered people. You know,
no, it's not necessarily my favorite thing. Second, but then it's not always funny. Yeah.
It's funny when they're on their third or fourth country. By the time they're at the end, it's
too
not fun anymore.
Far, too far.
Yeah.
Are there any yeah. rides now at Epcot?
Yeah, there's a few new ones. I mean, there's one ride that I went on called Mission Space.
Oh, I remember that.
So it's not Spaceship Earth because that's the different. Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that's like around the ball and, you know, yes. it's super slow. And then you go backwards. You know, this one is one that where you are inside of a rocket ship and it is like the most realistic, like you are going to space ride. Right.
Does
and
it,
it's basically
is motion
a gravitron. Oh, yeah. In fact, I told my best friend who I went with, I said, if that ride lasted 1 second longer, I would have thrown up all over.
Everyone. I bet people throw up all the time on it. This whole podcast is going to be us talking about puking.
I'm not lying. When it first released in like 2004, something like that, no joke, someone died on that ride.
Why?
You know, it's kind of unveil the magic. You're on basically a gravitron, right?
Uh-huh, right.
So it's spinning you, but you're watching a video that's making you look forward the entire time, right? Ooh. While you're being spinned this way.
No.
So your brain doesn't know what to do. You know, it's just bonkers. So like, unless you've like actually been in space, you're probably not going to be able to make it.
So what did they have like a seizure or something?
I don't know. That's the funny thing about Disney death is that, you know,
doesn't
they
exist.
Always like push the dead body outside the park and be like, no, they died outside of the park.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Yeah, they fainted in the park, but they died outside of it.
Crazy. You know? Crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. What about you?
Oh,
what's
my
your
God.
Favorite ride?
Well,
as a kid and now.
It's so exciting because I love Splash Mountain. That's definitely sure. probably my number one because it's a long ride. I love water rides. I love the Small World effect. But what's even more exciting for me is one of my favorite movies. Period, not even just Disney, is Princess and the Frog. So the fact okay. that they're making this into a ride, they're turning Splash Mountain into Princess and the Frog, is kind of yeah. like all my dreams have come true.
I'm so glad you said that and not Song of the South.
Definitely not. Like, never seen it, only heard all
I.
the stuff. Like, can't even believe that existed. But
I know.
No,
I'm
I
only
mean,
joking.
No, I mean, I think that Princess and the Frog is one of the most magical movies of all time. It's the best soundtrack.
So
it's
so
just
good.
Beautiful. It's aesthetically like the best princess we've ever had.
And it's New Orleans, man. New Orleans is so dope.
NOLA, baby. NOLA. It's going to be like the best thing that they've ever done. But it yeah. was exciting because my husband, I don't maybe he went on Splash Mountain one time years ago with me, but he hadn't been on in forever. And we recorded the whole thing. So he forgot like where all the drops were and that you go in the dark and there's a double drop and he didn't know. And I recorded the whole time and he's like screaming bloody murder. And it was so That's hilarious. Because we went for when COVID like lifted, when they opened it. So it was just the two of us on the log ride because that's how they have it now. And so it was really cool to kind of like experience it as the, you know, in quote unquote, last ride of Splash Mountain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I'm just a Space Mountain girl too. Those two are just my number ones.
Yeah. I'm a Space Mountain girl too. I love Space Mountain. It's
the best, right? And here's what I always say. You got to sit in the very front row. Lift your feet up and put your arms out in front of you. And it is like the craziest sensation.
Yeah, it is insane. One thing that's really cool that I don't know if they're actually doing it, but it was a thought that I had once they announced the whole Princess and the Frog thing. Mm-hmm. Why don't they do a restaurant like a
Country Bear Jamboree?
Yeah. Like, why don't they do like a restaurant? Yeah, I feel like that's because literally the whole theme of the movie is that she wants to make a restaurant.
You know, they do have the French Market Cafe. So I'm sure that that's like already what they had the idea of, at least in Disneyland. It's like right next door. And they had the Country Bear Jamboree restaurant. So maybe they will change that and turn it into something. I'm sure they will. Once it starts, like, you know that it's just going to like blow up and become this huge thing because people are going to realize that it's the best.
Right.
And it will. I just think it'll take time. Like as if I work for Disney, like as if I know what they're talking about, like it's going to take some time.
Well, and not only that, like another thing too, is that as far as at Disney World, there's a lot of cool French stuff that they're doing with Ratatouille. So they're doing.
Wait, have you been on that ride yet?
Not yet.
Is it open or not yet?
I'm not sure if it's open yet.
It looks so cute. I know
the restaurant has been open though.
Oh, wow.
Which I haven't been. Yeah, the restaurant Remy is open and they have an animatronic rat that's there. Obviously, he's not cooking or serving you food, but you know,
wouldn't that be so cute though if they figured out a way for him to cook you?
I don't know,
some food. You're like, oh, you want some? You know,
I don't know if now's the perfect time. I don't know if now's the perfect time for a rat to start cooking food for everybody. But
when is? Come on, Mike. When is?
It's very true. It's very true. I love it, man. So I want to go back to your childhood a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know you started in the business super young, at like 9 years old, right?
Yep.
One of the questions I like asking on this podcast is like, what kind of kid would you say that you were? So who did you sit with at the lunch table? Like, who were your friends at school? That kind of thing.
Ooh, I love that. I was a very loud child. I had a lot of energy. I had a gajillion friends. I had different types of friends in the sense where I had my school friends who I was really close with, and I was very tight with them, and we had our own little special bond. I had my friends that I did Taekwondo with, and we had our own very special bond. And then I had my dance competition friends who I think I had the closest bond with, and they are like family to me through and through. But it was funny because it's not that I had different personalities, but like, I knew how to kind of adapt to each group so differently. You know, with my Taekwondo, it was mostly guys. And so that was my opportunity to kind of have that like little bro tough, you know, tough bitch side to me and kind of bro out with the boys. And then with my school, like it was fun and entertaining and engaging and more like your typical school, like second grade type behavior would be, you know. And with dance, that was my performance. Like we would stay up and watch SNL and my mom would let us stay up to midnight and watch it. And then we would perform not only our dance, but like recreate like a Chris Farley skit, you know? So like, that's where I got to be my outrageous wild. I would moon everyone. It was my favorite thing to do. I loved to like moon the world. I would do it in cars. Like it was so bad, but yeah. So that's what I would say is like, kind of, that was like the vibe of it all. You know what I mean? Is like finding these different groups. and kind of just adapting. I was very much a chameleon like that.
Right. I really relate to that so much as far as being a chameleon and being able to kind of fit into the mold of whoever it is that you're hanging out with.
And not in a bad way. It's just like you see what someone is into, right? And you're like, oh, okay, I can relate to you on this level. Let's connect this way.
Do you think that that's just a performer thing where like we kind of... We can sit behind a control booth and be like, all right, let's turn this down, turn this up.
Or is it we're desperate for attention, so we're going to do anything? Yes. Are we performers? Yes. Are we also just humans that love other humans and know that other people can't quite adapt the way that we can?
Yeah.
Maybe that too. Mike, what's your birthday?
December 7th.
So are you a Sagittarius?
I am. I'm such a
love Sagittarius. I love that. But, you know,
I don't know what any of it means.
My grandpa was a Scientologist, a Sagittarius, not a Scientologist. Yeah. Sagittarius.
Much better. Much better than he's a Sagittarius.
I don't know why that came out. I think I was watching a documentary.
But
I think I agree with you. It's a performer thing. And I think it's also something, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is I always wanted people to feel comfortable. And so if I could do a little bit of my own work to make them feel comfortable and relax and be a little outgoing, then I would go forward and try to do that as much as possible. Maybe that's people pleasing and maybe that's narcissism, but you know, I can do it all, but you know, you learn, you know, I'm also an only child. So I wonder if maybe that had something to do with it.
I completely relate to that. I mean, something as well for me, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm an introverted extrovert, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
So like, I don't want to make a scene unless there's a stage and someone's asking me to make a scene.
And performing.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like, hey guys, look at me. And like, people are just like, we're just trying to drink something at Starbucks, man. Like,
that's like, you know, me. Unless I have an audience to perform for, I'm pretty quiet.
Right. That's kind of how I am. And also, sometimes because of my social anxiety, I let the performance speak for itself. So that way I'm like, oh, like I'm confident, which this is also kind of narcissism. I'm confident in my performance enough to know that that'll speak for itself and people will come up and talk to me instead.
No, I totally. You know? And, you know, a lot of people always think, you know, I have two ways that I am. When I first meet people, I'm either really quiet and shy. Yeah. Can't speak today.
Okay? I'm shy it.
Shy it. That's good. You know what? Maybe I'm going to do that. I'm shy it. I'm very, not even reserved. If I don't know you and I may be trying to impress you because we have a mutual friend, or like, I'll use the example of like my husband's friends when I first met them. I was real nervous and I was just kind of like, hi, nice to meet you, you know, whatever. But if we were in any other situation and it was a group of strangers where there was like no need to like impress them or make my significant other feel good that like, oh, I get along with their friends, I would be like, hey, how are you? Like all the jokes. And that's just naturally who I am. But I feel I shut down because I'm a very insecure person at heart and a very nervous person. And when I get that social anxiety, I like completely shut down. And that's why a lot of people say to me later on, if it's like meeting through a friend or something, they'll be like, oh my God, you're so much funnier than I thought you would be. And I'm like, yeah, because when you first met me, I was a nervous fucking wreck.
Right.
You know, but I need that moment. Either you have to be a complete stranger and I can be out there and it's like a performance, or if I do sort of know you, I'm a lot awkward at first.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's super difficult. I mean, just putting it into perspective for the listener, you know, sometimes even doing this podcast is weird for me because it's essentially my job to make us seem like we've known each other this whole time.
Totally.
You know,
although like, it does feel like that, right?
But here's the thing. We're both good at our jobs and we knew each other for 2 seconds. And then we were like, you know what? I feel comfortable.
We bonded.
I like this person. Yep. That's it. it's a quick bond, you know, but some people not so much, you know, some people, I mean, I'm sure it's happened to you as well, where like, you'll talk to some people and you're like, man, this is like pulling teeth. Do you even want to be on a podcast? Why did you agree to do this?
Why are you in the business if this is how you are?
I know.
And then you're like, don't make me feel bad. You asked to be on my show. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you always are like, and then I get super defensive and I'm like, ew, like all the stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. That's my own.
No, it's true. I love this. This is my favorite thing that's happened to me all week. I love this.
We're having a good time. What was it when you first heard me talk? What was it? And you were like, I want her to be on the show. She's going to be out of control.
If we're going to be honest, if you're actually asking me this question, I'm actually a really big fan of your podcast.
Oh, I was like, which podcast? Whose podcast? Mine?
Yours.
I know.
The emotional podcast.
Yeah. Emotional support. Yeah,
emotional.
Yay.
Yeah. And I told you this when I met you on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
How much I appreciate that podcast and things like that. And of course, you know, I found that podcast through being a fan of your work in acting business, because I've seen you in Big Bang Theory and like the Disney Channel original movies and, you know, all that stuff. But then we talked on Clubhouse for a little while. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is actually a really great person. And not to mention, you might have this too. I think most performers have this, where like you kind of get a vibe about someone pretty quickly, even if you're not talking to them.
Yep.
Where you're just like, man, I feel like I could be their friend real easy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Totally. And that's kind of how I felt about you. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think that you can kind of, and I think it's interesting, like talking about like voice apps, you know, you really can hear so much. You can hear the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, maybe a lot of people can't, but I know at least for me and maybe for you, like being in this business forever, you can just hear when someone is full of shit and they're lying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people on these voice apps where you're just like, have fun now, because when you go in front of a camera, you're not going to be able to do the things that you're doing and say the things that you're saying, because you're lying to everyone, like more or less, you know. So
yeah,
I think it's really interesting that you do say that, because you do, you can hear it. You know what I mean? You really can. You can hear the bullshit of it all.
But it's one of the greatest things about that app is that it makes the people that are real succeed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way to buy your followers. You can't buy likes. You can't buy any of that. Like people have to like actually listen to you speak.
Yep.
And if you don't sound like you know what you're talking about, people are going to be like, see ya.
We're not leaving you a review.
Right.
You're not getting that review today. And I hope everyone gives Mike a great review on this one.
I hope so. We'll see. Just going into that, like that makes me so mad. Like it mostly makes me mad for people that have only been in the entertainment business. And like, you know, and I know you don't know me very well, but I've been in the entertainment business for a while as well.
Yeah.
I'm an actor and I do stand up and all that stuff.
I'm so jealous. I love stand up so much.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I never said I was good, but I do it.
I assume you're good because you're funny. You're a funny person naturally.
Thank you very much.
Is it nerve wracking going on stage?
Sometimes it is. I'll tell you what, it was really nerve wracking after having not done it for a year.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then getting back on stage.
Wow. And it's in person, huh?
Yeah. But I will. I have to tell you this. I just performed last night on a show. It was sold out. I mean, sold out as balls. It was so sold out. Yeah. I mean, standing room. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
And it was so liberating and fun.
Oh, I love
it. It was
that.
Awesome. I mean, I think for me personally, and I'm sure I don't think it ever goes away, the hardest part of stand-up is the 30 seconds before you get up on stage.
Oh, yeah. You probably want to puke.
Yeah. You're like having kind of a panic attack.
You're like, I'm going to fail. You know, it's not going to go well. Yeah. No one's going to laugh. Yep.
Right. And then you get that microphone, you hit your first punchline, and then you get comfortable.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I love it. I wouldn't keep doing it. I've been doing it for 6 years. I wouldn't still be doing it if I didn't love it.
You have to have a passion for things. And that's like, you know, for everything. Did you start when you were a kid?
No, no, I started really, really late. I started at like 27.
Wow. I thought you were 24.
No, I'm 33.
Yeah. We're the same age. I totally thought you were like 24.
This is why we're both actors. We have those Disney Channel faces, you and I, you know.
What can I say?
You more than I. You more than I, because you've actually done it. That's not true. I have done things for Disney Channel as well.
Don't give up on your kid dreams, okay? Yeah. It's going to happen.
No, I've actually done stuff for Disney Channel as well.
Stop it. Tell me everything.
I've done a few things for Disney. I've done a few things for Nickelodeon. Just small little things.
But that's so fun.
It is fun. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's super fun. I mean, the thing is, there's only so much that you can do when you're living in Florida.
Right.
You know?
Nickelodeon was based in Florida?
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Like back in the 90s, it was. It was in Orlando. They filmed all that there. They filmed even down to like Tiana, that Hispanic sitcom that they had for a while.
I didn't remember that.
You don't remember Tiana?
No.
It was one of their Teen Nick shows. But yeah, I didn't start super young, sadly. Right. That's the difference between you and I. You started super young, which is so interesting for me because I want to know how that all happens. Like at 9 years old, were you just like, I want to do this?
Yeah, I think just from dancing, like I had got asked to be on to audition for a kids club where I was a host.
Right.
And it was all just from people seeing me perform on stage as a competition dancer.
Wow.
When I realized like how much I love being on stage and how much I love performing and how I just wanted a reaction from the audience. Like that's kind of just like how it happened. And I knew that I always wanted to be on TV, but I knew I always wanted to be on SNL. Right. And I didn't know that that meant being on TV. I just knew I wanted to be on TV doing comedy like Chris Farley. He was my idol. He was my everything. Yeah. And then Jim Carrey, I was introduced to, and he was the next one. So it was like stuff like that, that I think really got me excited. And it was something my parents were like, what do you mean you want to be an actor? Like, no, you know, and it was what I wanted to do. And so my mom believed in me and she was like, okay, if this is what you want to do, we're going to do it, but I don't get it. You know what I mean? And you're still going to get a school education. So I think that that's just kind of how it happened.
That's incredible, man. I mean, the thing that a lot of people need to realize when it comes to being a kid actor is like your parent has to be on your side. In order for it to work.
Yeah. And my mom was not a stage mom. I knew a lot of those. Yeah. And that was like crazy to me, like seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
But she was not like that at all. And I think that you really have to have family that's backing you when you're at that age. But I think most importantly, I think that you have to really want to do it when you're young, because it is so much rejection and it's so much hatred and it's so much anger that's put on you all the time, that you have to not only have thick skin, but you have to just be okay with the rejection and like, no, it's nothing personal. It's just not for you.
Of course. And I want to keep talking about this, but before we do, I have to do this one thing. We have a very specific bit that we like to do on this podcast.
Go for it.
I need to make sure we get it done before we keep moving on here. So I need to ask you this. It's a pretty important question. What was your favorite snack growing up?
Ooh, Dunkaroos.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about yours?
Probably the same.
I love Dunkaroos, but I had them recently and they are not the same formula.
It's not the same. It's just not the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
It's just not the same. It's just not the same. That's the Instagram clip right there. It's just us doing. It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's just not the same.
Back then, I don't know if you remember, but Dunkaroos had like a Baskin Robbins amount of flavors. You know, like they had like chocolate Dunkaroos and like, you know, vanilla Oreos and Oreos. They had a bunch of different stuff.
No more.
Now it's just like shortbread that's made from vanilla folders.
Yeah. It's not the dream like it was before.
Right. And to be fair, it probably wasn't that great when we were kids.
You know, Mike, I disagree. I'm going to stand that it was amazing.
Yeah. It's funny, man. There really are some nostalgia eyes snacks sometimes. But for example, today, I just saw it on Instagram today. I was a huge fan. I don't know if you remember this. McDonald's used to sell cookies.
Those are my favorite things in the entire world. The little ones?
Yeah, they were the best.
Are they coming back?
No, they weren't. It was just like, remember these? They were so good. Whatever happened to
them?
Don't
you remember? Like, what was the purple guy's name?
Grimace. Yeah.
Grimace.
Yeah. Grimace.
And those cookies, and they had Ronald McDonald. They had all of them, and they were those sugar cookies. They were like animal crackers, and they were the best things in the entire world.
They were so good.
I know.
They were so good.
But where are they?
It's kind of ridiculous. Like, BTS gets their own meal, but I can't get the cookies back from McDonald's. Well,
bullshit. I call bullshit.
It's ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous. Yeah. So a big thing we like to talk about on this podcast is cereal, because it is the all-encompassing food of childhood.
Yeah.
So are you a cereal fan? And what were your favorite cereals growing up? And now all that.
I'm a huge cereal fan. I am allergic to milk, and I shouldn't. I'm lactose intolerant, yet I eat ice cream and cheese, but I regret it later. But I never had milk and cereal. I'd always eat it plain.
Same.
But I am a Lucky Charms girl. I'm a Fruit Loops girl. I'm a Frosted Flakes girl. I am a Smackers. Was it Smackers?
Mm-hmm. Honey Smacks.
Honey Smacks. That with the frog. Frog. I love those. And I would say one of my other favorites was Frosted Mini Wheats, but I'd only eat the frosted part, and then I'd like toss out the other.
Kindred spirits.
You had no idea.
Yeah, I would just eat the frosting, put it back in the box.
Crunch it, and then I'd put it back, and then people would be like, ew, this is so gross. You didn't get the sugar one. I'd be like, I know, Mom. Why didn't you get
the... You got the ones with all the bites in them.
Not my fault.
You should definitely call Kellogg's. There's something wrong.
Something's wrong. I definitely did not do it. There is a mouse in here. Ratatouille is here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So there's... What's the other cereal that I would do?
I'm also a fan of Cheerios.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love Cheerios?
A lot of people.
Regular Cheerios?
I do. I like Honey Nut, but I do love a regular Cheerio. If I'm on a plane or on the road, it's a guaranteed good time.
It is, man. It is a guaranteed good time.
And I don't like Special K, you know, cornflakes, but in the UK and in Europe, they're different.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They're phenomenal. They're thick and they're crunchy and they're great.
That's
like
awesome.
Frosted Flakes. That was the slogan.
Yeah.
They're great.
Right. But they changed the slogan in the UK to they're greater.
They're cool.
They're awesome. So every episode of this podcast, I like to review a box of cereal with my guest. And usually I like to get a cereal that has something to do with my guest in some way, shape, or form. So I spoke with my sponsors over at General Mills. Now, by sponsor, I mean that I like them and I buy all of their products.
So I sponsor them.
Right. And by spoke to, I mean that I tweeted them repeatedly and they never got back to me. So the cereal that I chose for you, Alessandra, is Star Wars The Mandalorian cereal.
Why did you choose that?
Okay, for the listener, she is extremely shocked. She was then like, why did you choose that?
Did you know I'm obsessed with all things Baby Yoda?
Listen, I think I have a talent for finding people's soul cereal. If that makes any sense. Okay, where it's just like, this cereal is the cereal that describes you. You know what I mean?
Okay, I didn't know they had a cereal. Are those marshmallows? Yeah,
they sure are.
Did you know that Grogu's my favorite?
I know all these things for some reason.
I didn't even know that they had a cereal. This is like the craziest thing.
I'm not sure if it's still in stores.
I'm going to find
it. I'm sure you can find it.
Loved it. Oh, my God. I love that you had Baby Yoda. Have you given anyone else the child cereal?
No, this is all you. And if we were in person, I would give this to you because that's the thing that I always do for my in-person episodes. Yeah. I give them the cereal.
Did you used to do in-person interviews?
I used to a while ago. And to be completely honest, I kind of like that it went to Zoom because now I can have these great conversations with people like you.
Yeah, you know? And like all over the world. I completely agree. I talk to people in South Africa and India. Like, I would never be able to do that if it was just in a studio, like at an actual studio or like an actual in-person interview. Like, you couldn't do that.
Right. Absolutely. So looking at this box here, you can see that there are like corn puffs, kind of like a Kix cereal. Uh-huh. They're fruit flavored, however.
So like
there's
Trix.
Also just like Trix. And then there are Grogu-shaped marshmallows all in it. If you look at the back, it comes with
a really cool
design right there. So adorable.
With Mando.
Who doesn't love Grogu?
I love Grogu.
Yeah, he's the best. It's pretty basic as far as design. There's no toys or anything in there. Aww. No sweepstakes, nothing like that. We can't review it because we're on a Zoom conference right now. But what we can do is we can give our listeners an ad to eat Star Wars The Mandalorian cereal. Ooh. However, I don't think that it would be fun if we did it as ourselves. I think it would be way more fun if you did it as the child or Grogu.
I had no idea that I have Grogu's everywhere.
That's amazing.
Okay, yeah. I'm ready to talk.
That's not you, though. That's not fair. Shh.
Ready?
Okay.
The child cereal. It's so delicious with marshmallows shaped like Grogu. And fruit corn puffs. And it even comes with your own personal Mandalorian. Thanks, Grogu.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Star Wars The Mandalorian cereal, ladies and gentlemen. They said it couldn't be done. They were probably right, but we did it.
That was a disaster.
Oh my gosh. That sounded like you were holding a baby hostage while you were doing that.
I know. Everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with this?
It was great. I loved it. That was so fun.
This episode of Childlike at Best with Mike Valdez is brought to you by The Crunch Cup. Save time in the morning by taking your cereal on the go. Simply add cereal to the inner cup, milk into the outer cup, screw on the lid, and you're ready to crunch. Eat cereal in the car, at your desk, or anywhere else you want. Go to thecrunchcup.com to purchase what I think is a genius invention and use the discount code MikeValdez10. That's Mike, M-I-K-E, Valdez, V-A-L-D-E-S, the number 10. To save 10% off of your order. You can also sign up for their monthly giveaway to win a year's supply of cereal. So what are you waiting for? Go to thecrunchcup.com and use promo code MikeValdez10 to save 10% off of your order. The Crunch Cup, it's better than spooning. Want to support Childlike at Best with Mike Valdez? Visit anchor.fm/childlikeatbest to find ways to donate. Any little bit helps. On with the show!
Well, I want to go back to talking about acting and things like that, because it's just nuts, man. I mean, not to be like every other podcast that you've been on, but like, dude, you've done so many freaking cool things. Malcolm in the Middle, you were on a DCOM. I mean, it's awesome. We talked about this briefly and I want to know more about it. What was your experience being on? Was it Beyond the Mat?
Going to the Mat.
That's what it was. Yeah. The DCOM that you did with
Andrew Lawrence.
With Andrew Lawrence and Wayne Brady, correct?
Wayne Brady.
He was a blind coach, I believe.
He was the blind music teacher. Taught Andy how to play guitar. And I taught Andy how to wrestle, because my dad was the wrestling coach, DB Sweeney, I think it was. Oh my God, I can't believe I remember that. It was really fun, and I'm still friends with Andy to this day, which is pretty cool because we were like 15 and 14 when we did it.
Right.
So it's pretty crazy that like 20 years later, we're still friends. But yeah, I mean, like loads of fun and, you know, such an experience and so cool to say that in the 90s, 2000s, like that hot era of the DCOMs, like I can say that I was in one of them. And it's really fun because I guess it's on Disney Plus now. And
sure,
you know, my cousins, my baby cousins don't know it's me and they were watching DCOMs. They're like, oh my God, it's Alessandra. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. You know, it was, so it's really cool. It's getting this like fun resurgence of younger generation that's watching.
I'm sure that must be such a trip, is like people talking to you about something that you barely remember because you were 10. Like
15. But yes, I mean, yeah.
Well, for that specifically, but I'm just saying something like, you know, Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, I don't
whatever
remember.
The case.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
like how in the world are you going to remember what catering was like when you were 10? You know, like,
no idea. I mean, there are certain things that I remember, but certain things I don't even remember what the catering was like on a show a year ago. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm like,
yeah. You only remember when it's the best or when it's the worst.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's like I remember, like I'll never forget when I did a pilot, their catering was so good.
Ooh.
Like they made us custom breakfast burritos in the morning.
What was the pilot, Mike?
I can talk about it. Who cares? It didn't get picked up. But the pilot was for a show called Charity Case, and it starred Courtney Cox and Chris Parnell. And I was hired as an extra and then got promoted, and had the show gone on, they probably would have made it an actual character at some point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like a workplace comedy. It was basically a darker form of The Office. Uh-huh. So like,
was this in LA or Miami?
This was in LA.
Cool. Yeah,
this was when I lived in LA for a while. Not for a while. I was only there for less than a year, I think. Maybe
and
just
already
a year,
working. That's crazy.
That's the thing that I find nuts, and like, you know, and maybe to each their own, but like, you know, and look, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn or anything. Like I'm literally just talking about this because it came up and that kind of thing. But when I moved to LA, my roommates were like, you can't just email people your headshots and like your resume and stuff. And I'm like, why not?
Right.
You know? And like, and they're like, there's etiquette to this and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, the worst thing they could say is no. And I already don't have it.
Right.
So what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I got my first manager in LA the first week I got there.
Wow.
Which there's people I've heard. I didn't think this was normal. I thought that was normal, that you just like got an agent. You started working. You did your thing. I didn't realize that there were people that had been there for 2 years and still hadn't got an agent.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was my business sense. Maybe it was because I was good. I have no idea.
Right.
But I just knew I was there to work, and that's why I'm there.
You're a hustler.
And so, yeah. And so like, why do anything else? And so, in fact, that manager is the reason why I do stand up.
Wow.
Because I never wanted to do stand up. I mean, listeners of this podcast have heard this story many times, but I'm willing to share it with you. And if I have to cut it out, I'll cut it out. But when I had this manager, she was like, you need to start taking improv classes. And I looked at improv classes. And you know this, everybody goes to UCB and it's like $800 for a one semester class. And people are just doing it because their agents and managers are telling them to do it. They don't even love improv. And I just couldn't afford it. So right. I just thought, well, stand up is free and I'm getting on stage. And so I asked, I said, is stand up OK? And she goes, I don't care what you do, as long as you're on stage and you're keeping your performance blade sharp. I can care less what you're doing, as long as you're being funny or whatever, because when I send you for pilot season or whatever, I want you to be able to go into a room and crush. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, OK, cool. And then that's how I started doing stand up. The way that I always tell people is like, I feel like comedy found me, because I felt like I had no choice.
Right.
I was like, I have to do this. Like, there's no other way around it. Right. I have to do stand up. And then I fell in love with it. Now I just do it because I love it, as opposed to feeling like I do it because I have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. And then she was like, are you in the Screen Actors Guild? And I was eligible, but I wasn't in it yet. And so I went and then I found out, you know, oh, well, if you're an extra, you know, on shows, you can be in the Screen Actors Guild. And I go, okay, cool. So hey,
great. That's sign how me up.
Yeah. And that's how I did it. That I like literally I went on that show and I was just, you know, extras are glorified furniture. You know, right. This, yeah. But like, that's literally what it is. But my whole thing, my philosophy has always been, whether the camera is on you or not, you're always acting as mm-hmm. if the camera is on you.
Absolutely.
If action is called, whether you are in the frame and or if anybody even cares about your character, mm-hmm. you're like, it doesn't matter. Like, it is now your show.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's not your show, but like, you know.
No, but it's your performance. Yeah.
Right. It's your performance. Like, if you're at a restaurant and you're eating with a date, like, they call action, you're on a freaking date. You know what I mean? Like,
I love that. I love like, that.
That's how I work. That's how I work. Like, you are on a date. You're asking yeah. date questions. You're eating. You're like saying weird stuff. I mean, making the other actor feel uncomfortable where they're yeah. like, are we even on screen right now?
Yeah. You know? But it's true. You have to be yeah. on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that it'll work for everybody, but I have a feeling that that's the reason why people were like, maybe we should use him. Like, he seems kind of. Been making some weird faces. I like this guy, you know.
I like his whatever. Weird faces that he's making. Yeah. They're working yeah. for me.
So there's so much we can talk about, but I know you've been you've talked at nauseam about like some bad times you've had on set. But how about this? Oh, this is a great question. What are like some audition horror stories that you've had?
Oh my God. You know, it's so funny. People always ask me that question and I don't even know, because the ones that are so traumatizing that have happened, I literally have to walk away from. And I used to have like 2 to 3 auditions a day that at some yeah. point they all blur together. Like, cool. I think if there was a horror story, like I know like one time I wasn't even crazy, but like I didn't get a role because I reminded the head of the network of his ex-wife, even though I was 17 years old. So like crazy shit like that happens in the business and you're like, what? Like,
yeah,
what? I'm 17 years old. But it was just like my energy reminded me, reminded him of like a part of the personality of his ex that he didn't like, you know? So it's just like, just crazy shit will happen like that all the time.
Man, I had one recently, an in-person one that was really bad. And it actually had nothing to do with the audition. It had everything. It was before the audition
wow. that
everything happened. So I was walking to the casting office and I tripped on uneven concrete. And when I tripped, I landed on my elbow and I skid my elbow. Ooh. And was bleeding profusely out of my elbow.
Oh.
Right. So I went into this warehouse. They share, because that's the thing about casting offices. I'm sure it's like this in LA. It's like a warehouse that like shares like a carpet company and like, you know, yeah. a bank and like all these things. And then like next to the bathroom is like casting, you
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was one of those places. And so it was, I went to this carpet company and I was like, hey guys, I'm so sorry to bother you. Can I please just have a bandage? They had bandages and thankfully they took care of me. It was aww. Pretty awesome. It was really, really nice of them. They took care of it. I was extremely late to my audition. And,
that's
and
okay.
of course, no one in there knows what just happened. Right. And not only is my arm wrapped up, there's like visible blood that you can see like
no.
coming out.
Oh.
And people are like, oh, like, why are you late? And it's like, oh, this has gone downhill before I even came in. Like,
oh, the worst.
Before I even came in, you hated me.
Yeah, the so worst. Like,
yeah.
So like, why did so I like, waste my time?
Yeah, there's literally nothing I can do. That's going to save this, you know, they gave me a callback, I think, because they found out what happened and they felt bad for me, but no. I never ended up getting the job. So it doesn't matter.
That's okay. You have the story now to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, where I was just like, man, I better get a callback or else that fall was for nothing.
Like, listen, all the falls are definitely not for nothing. There's always something there. And then you get a good story out of it.
Yeah, you get a good story out of it. And that's always a good thing.
Exactly.
So I want to talk about this. What was the inspiration for starting Emotional Support?
Oh, great one. I love this. Well, you know, I am someone who lives with bipolar 1 disorder, and I didn't have anyone to share that with. And slowly but surely at conventions and just meeting different people, we had started talking about mental illness. And I had one particular woman that had shared with me her story, and she showed me scars on her arms and told me she harms herself, and that she never knew someone on TV had something very similar. Now, while I've never harmed myself like that, I have mentally harmed myself. Right. And I understand that feeling of frustration of needing some sort of release, needing some sort of breath, something to kind of just like this. And so I got to have this conversation with her, and it was the most beautiful conversation. And I decided to share it on Instagram one day, not her story, but about living with bipolar disorder. And it kind of went from there. And then someone said to me, you know, why don't you have a podcast? And I said, I love to talk, and I love to talk about mental health, and I want to bring awareness to this because no one is making it funny. And if someone is making it funny, then I'd love to be on their show and hear about it, you know. But every show that I hear on mental health, it's very wonderful and it's great and it's informative and I learn so much, but there's no taking light of it. So I think I just got kind of tired of it.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I love about Emotional Support is that you bring light into the darkness. And that's my favorite thing about
you. Thank you.
Of course. And I say that from the deepest bowels of my heart. When I don't know why I said it like that.
But. I love it. I love it.
From the butt of my heart.
Emotional Support.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's great because my favorite thing to do as a performer, you know, whether it's comedy, whether it's music, whether it's acting, is always bringing light to darkness. That's our job.
Right.
It's just important. For one, it's a good thing because it reminds people that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And also it reminds people that, like, it's okay to laugh at this stuff, because if we don't, then it just makes things worse. Then what's the
point? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, for example, you know, a lot of people with comedy and stuff will get offended on behalf of other people. And that's something that is, like, kind of annoying to mm-hmm. me, because I will 100% care if it offends someone who actually went through something.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, for example, if I make a joke about cancer, if you have cancer and you say, hey, man, I have cancer, it wasn't really cool, then I'll be like, you know what? You're probably right. I'm sorry about that. I'll just change the joke. My intention was just to be funny. It wasn't to offend you. But if you came up to me and you said, hey, I know someone who saw a TV show where someone had cancer one time, mm-hmm. you know, then I'm just like, really? The metaphor that I like to use is like when a bunch of guys are hanging out and they have one girl with them, and like, or the other way around, whatever. It doesn't necessarily always have to be a girl or whatever, but there's always that one person. Like, you're roasting each other. You're like, oh, man, you're fat. You're this, you're that. Ha 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 ha. And then that one person's like, come on, guys, he's not that fat. And then, like, makes it real. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
And then it's like, we were kidding. We weren't trying to be real about this whole thing.
Right.
Like,
right.
We're just trying to make light out of this whole situation. That's all, you know?
And look, so, I'm just trying to make it light.
Of course. Well, and not only that, you're making it light, but it's a different situation because you're talking about it from a first person point of view because you also have bipolar 1.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's not like you're a doctor who studied bipolar. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you're not a doctor who studied bipolar 1. You have it. So it's a completely different.
I'm someone with lived experience. So, you know, right. If I want to laugh at myself, then guess what? I can.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it, man. So I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Oh, you're so cute.
This conversation can go on for however many parts you would like. I can talk to you forever. I do have to ask you these last two questions because I find them to be very important for what we're trying to do with this podcast. You can answer them however you'd like. There's no right or wrong answer. You can answer them comedically, vulnerably, however you'd like. So the first question is, what advice would you give your child version of yourself?
Just know you're crazy for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say.
Was that version of you scared to be crazy?
No, I just didn't know what it meant and like why I was feeling these ways, you know?
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'd say it was like, okay.
Absolutely. Now, how about this? What do you think that that kid would think of who you are now?
Probably think I'm kind of cool, but like, why haven't I gotten my shit together a little bit more? Like, this is what you're doing at 34. Get it together, lady.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. They wouldn't be that impressed. They wouldn't be that impressed.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny, but it's also so true.
Too true.
Yeah. But I mean, and look, you're actually the perfect person to tell this to. This is the reason why I started asking these two questions, because it all came about from auditioning and like being an actor and things like that. And just the frustration of going to all of these auditions and not getting a job.
Yeah.
You know, sending all these self tapes and not getting a job, you know, and like they requested you. It's only you and like three other people that look exactly like you.
Lies.
You know, like all these different things that you get. Mm-hmm. And I would get mad because I would just be like, man, like this is so dumb. I'm not even going to get it. Like, why do I even waste my time? And then miraculously, God or whoever, mm-hmm. you know, put this in my mind. The 10-year-old version of you would be so stoked.
I don't know. Maybe yours would. I don't think mine would.
Well, yours is already working. You know,
mine was like, oh, honey, get it together at this point. No, but I know you're right. Yes, yes, yes. It's so true.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. You have to always put things into perspective and remember, you have come farther than you ever thought you really would. You know, you wake up in the morning, you've survived. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, it helps you remember how far you've come, because this business doesn't really believe in the magic that inspired you to get into it in the first place, which is so like weird that it doesn't believe in that magic, you know, but the person that believed in it was the kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's who believed in it. So that's why I think the magic lies in what that kid thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's the kid version of yourself or if you have kids of your own, then the magic that's in that kid's eyes, what's going to make that kid happy? I just think that those things are super important.
I think they're great questions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and that's the thing I like to remind all of my listeners and my guests as well, is that it's so important to never lose that sense of childlike wonder, mm-hmm. you know, because that is really what's going to get you anywhere, you know?
So true.
So anyway, it was such a blast having
you. It was so much fun. We'll do this again, okay?
Please, anytime.
And when you come to LA, you give me a ring.
You can come back on here whenever you want. You are always welcome. I'm not joking.
Thank you.
That's not like an LA, like David Letterman. Come back whenever you want.
Yeah,
but
right.
Only when you're promoting something. You know, like.
Well, I'm going to come when I'm promoting and when I'm not promoting. I'm just always going to come over and hang out. Thank you so much for having me on. This really was a treat. And I am definitely going to do this again. Trust me, trust me, trust me.
Of course.
Now, we have so much more Disney to talk about.
Yeah, so much more. Before you leave, though, can you please let the listeners know where they can find you online?
Yes, you can find me at my name at Alessandra Torresani. If you Google, you'll find it. It's a hard name to spell. And then listen to my podcast, Emotional Support. And we have great, cool merch that goes towards great causes. Each month is a different organization that we're raising money for. And check that out at emotionalsupportpod.com.
And you also have the other podcast with Ryan as
well,
right?
Yes, Almost Live. That's a fun one. That's a silly one.
That is a fun one. Absolutely. So definitely give those podcasts a subscription. and listen to them. For me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mike Valdez, on Twitter at I am Mike Valdez. And you can go to whoismikevaldez.com to find out the answer to that question. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Don't lose your sense of childlike wonder. Bye, besties.
Bye.
That was a Geek Bro podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit geekbro.net.